If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. We greet you today again in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the joy of Worth Baptist Church to produce this radio ministry week after week. Today, Sunday, October 22nd, is a very special day with us here at Worth Baptist. We continue in these days of the month of October, reaping a wonderful harvest that God is giving us Sunday after Sunday. We believe that we have reached the hour in our nation and in the nations of earth when the greatest need is for the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We believe we must return to the Bible way of winning people to Jesus. We believe that God is doing something for His people in these days, preparing them for the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, in the days of October, we are stressing and emphasizing the importance of winning men and women and boys and girls to Christ. It's Harvest Month here at Worth Baptist Church. Our Sunday school today begins at 10 o'clock. We're in a survey of the New Testament. Week after week, we survey a book within the Bible. Today, we will be surveying the book of Romans. This is considered by many as the most important letter that Paul ever wrote. Martin Luther said, it's the most important book in the New Testament. Many consider it Paul's masterpiece. This will be our study, a survey of the book of Romans, today in our Sunday school at 10 o'clock. There's a class for every member of your family, for every age and every grade level, in the Sunday school of Worth Baptist Church, where the Bible only is the textbook. Our Sunday morning worship hour begins at 11, and our Sunday evening worship hour is at 7. We believe that you'd find a warm and spiritual atmosphere in which to worship God in the services of Worth Baptist Church today. 1 week from today, on Sunday, September 29th, we are having our annual Roundup Day. Our Sunday school goal for next Sunday, Roundup Day, is 500 for Christ. We would like for you to come and help us in sharing these wonderful blessings of the Lord during the days of October, especially next Sunday, Roundup Day, when our Sunday school goal is 500. Perhaps you've been intending for a long time to visit the Sunday School of Worth Baptist Church. Why not do so today and the services of worship? And remember next Sunday, Roundup Day here at Worth Baptist Church. We are located at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. Our church is easily accessible from all parts of the city of Fort Worth and of Tarrant County by the Pauley Freeway, that's Highway 287 South, and by Loop 820. It would be our joy for you to come today and to bring your family and friends to Sunday school at 10 o'clock to worship the Lord in our Sunday morning worship hour at 11 and our Sunday evening worship hour at 7. Be our guest today at Worth Baptist Church. And we would like to hear from you by mail this week. If you'll write us this week, we will send you one of our booklets entitled Times Like These, or perhaps you'd like the booklet, The Bible is Right. These are yours simply for the asking by writing this week to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. They will be sent to you free and postage paid. And now for my message on today's broadcast, entitled, The Worldwide Fellowship of the Gospel. I shall read from the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 34 and 35. But before we read the Bible, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank Thee today for the Bible, for the Word of Truth, for the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that Thou hast permitted us once again today to preach the unsearchable riches of His marvelous grace. We thank Thee for Worth Baptist Hour and for the listening audience, for every home, for every business, for every person who is touched by this broadcast. May it today be a real blessing to all who have tuned our way. And may the Lord Jesus Christ receive the honor and glory from this message and from this broadcast, is our prayer in His name and for His sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. The book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." God is no respecter of persons. There is a worldwide fellowship in the gospel of Jesus Christ. My text serves as a pivot point for the great missionary emphasis of the Christian faith. In Peter's vision recorded here in Acts chapter 10, he learned a vital lesson that God is willing to save all, both Jew and Gentile, who will call upon Him by faith. We know that the gospel was first offered to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. So says Paul in Romans chapter 1 at verse 16. Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek," or to the Gentile world. The gospel is the power of God. It is the dynamite, the dynamic of God. No other system of religion in all the world can be so described. There are 11 major religions in the world today. They are Hinduism, Buddhism, Confucianism, Mohammedanism, Sikhism, Taoism, Shintoism, Zoroastrianism, Jainism, Judaism, and Christianity. All but two of these are older than Christianity. Only Sikhism and Mohammedanism have come into existence since the birth of Christ. Of these 11 major religions, only three are missionary. Hence, only three have a worldwide appeal. They are Buddhism, Mohammedanism, and Christianity. Today, Buddhism boasts over 300 million followers. Mohammedanism boasts over 500 million, and Christianity boasts over 1 billion adherents. They tell us today that the fastest growing religion in the world is Mohammedanism, and more people worldwide are named Mohammed than any other name. In Africa, for example, for every one convert to Christianity, there are 6 converts to Mohammedanism. It is spreading faster in the United States than Christianity. Muslim mosques are in several major cities in the United States. I understand that there are some 50 Muslims attending one of our area universities. There are from 30 to 50,000 Muslims in America. Mohammedanism began in the year 622 AD. It began with the express purpose of opposing Christianity. A young Muslim was recently quoted as saying, "We are going to pull down the cross all over the world." He then unfolded a map showing Muslim mosques and Muslim missionaries in the various parts of the world, including New York, Washington, London, and Paris. He continued, and I quote, "God has repeatedly told me that I am the Messiah for Muslims and Christians." What blasphemy! But this is in fulfillment of the warning of Jesus that in the last days many would come saying, "I am the Christ." What do Muslims believe about Christ anyhow? Basically, the Muslims believe that Jesus Christ is the next to the greatest of the prophets. They believe Mohammed is the greatest. In their list of prophets, and there are some 27 of them, they list Moses, Abraham, and Alexander the Great. They claim that Jesus Christ is next to Mohammed. They believe that Mohammed is the great prophet of Allah. The greatest single challenge to Christianity in the world today is Mohammedanism. It is the chief competitor and opponent. But someone might ask, don't the Muslims and these other religions have a right to exist? The answer to that question must be twofold. If you speak constitutionally, do they have a constitutional right to exist? The answer is yes, because every man should be guaranteed the right to any religion or no religion at all. But if you ask this scripturally, do they have a scriptural right to exist? I believe the answer is no. It is either Christ or the false religions. It is either Christianity or one of these others. They both cannot be right. It is Christ or Buddha, not Christ and Buddha. It is Christ or Mohammed, not Christ and Mohammed. It is Christ or Confucius, not Christ and Confucius. Thank God for us today, it is Christ and Christ alone. He is the all-powerful and all-sufficient Savior. I am dedicated to the proposition that there is only one way of salvation. Christianity is the only way, or there is no way at all. Christ is either God's only gift, or there is no gift. Christ is either the only sacrifice for sins, or there is no sacrifice for sins. Christ is either man's only Savior, or man has no Savior. Look in the sacred writings of Buddha. There is no hope for the sinner. Look in the sacred writings of Mohammed. There is no light for the darkness of our world. Look in the sacred writings of Confucius. You'll find no comfort for the fallen. But if you'll look in the sacred writings of Christ, the Holy Bible, you'll find hope and light and comfort and salvation and the way to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Peter declares that there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is but one avenue of approach. There is but one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. If you were to go to Japan today, you would probably find a monument to Buddha. If you go to Arabia, you'd find a monument to Mohammed. If you go to China, you'd find a monument to Confucius. But if you go to Israel, the Holy Land, there you will find an empty tomb. And out of that empty tomb, by the ear of faith, you will hear the echo of the resurrection angel who declared on that resurrection morning, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, for he is risen. Come see the place where he lay. By the same ear of faith, you would hear the voice of Jesus saying, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. You would hear the voice of Jesus saying, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You would hear the voice of Jesus saying, Because I live, ye shall live also. What a happy note is the note of the resurrection. What a triumphant song. Jesus Christ is alive. He lives today. He lives to save all who will come to him by faith. There is a worldwide fellowship of the gospel. In the first place, the gospel has a worldwide appeal. The gospel does not bear the label made in the United States of America. Nor does the gospel bear a label made in Texas by Texans for Texans. The gospel is for all men of all nations in all the earth. My text says, in every nation, those who fear or honor or trust him are accepted of him. Then that very familiar passage of Scripture, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. The Greek, therefore, world is oikoumene. God so loved the whole inhabited earth that he gave his Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is the worldwide appeal of the gospel. It is for all men everywhere. Then in the second place, the gospel has a worldwide accessibility. How far is it to heaven? It is just as near to heaven from Outer Mongolia as it is from North Central Texas. It is just as easy for God to tune his ear to hear those who speak in Chinese as it is for him to hear those who speak in English. It is just as meaningful, the gospel is just as meaningful, and there is just as much a message in John 3:16 for that uncivilized tribe in the Philippines as for the civilized families of Americans. There is a worldwide accessibility in the gospel of redeeming grace. Not only so, there is a worldwide application of the gospel. The gospel is not provincial in its application any more than it is in its accessibility. The gospel is adaptable to all geographical areas of the world. The teachings of Jesus are just as applicable in Africa as in America. The golden rule applies just as much to the man in the Congo as it does to the man in Chicago. The gospel is just as potent and powerful in the heathen lands as it is in our land. It is just as meaningful to love God in the jungle as in the metropolis. It is just as important to go the second mile in the desert as it is on the freeway. The gospel has a worldwide application. It is indeed applicable to all men of all colors and creeds and in all nations and tongues and tribes of the earth. This is the worldwide application of the gospel of redeeming grace. Then in the fourth place, the gospel has a worldwide adequacy. Just how sinful is sin? Can the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse you from your sin? You as an American? You as a Texan? Then I ask you, cannot the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse the African from his sin? Cannot his blood cleanse the Chinese from his sin? Cannot his blood cleanse the Japanese or the German or the islander of the sea? Cannot the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse all men all over the world from their sin? John says, Christ is the propitiation, not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. John the Baptist said, Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. Yes, beloved, the gospel is adequate for all men of all languages, of all continents, of all the countries of the earth. We have no monopoly on the gospel here in the United States. God is the God of all the world. Christ is the Savior of all the world. And the gospel indeed has a worldwide fellowship. I have a footnote to my message today. Heaven has a worldwide fellowship. You see, heaven is a cosmopolis. That is, it is a cosmopolitan city. John on the Isle of Patmos said, And I saw a multitude which no man could number, out of every kindred and tribe and family and nation of the earth, standing before the throne. There is just as much room in heaven for Asians as there is for Americans. There is just as much room in heaven for Tanganyikans as there is for Texans. There is just as much room in heaven for you today as there is for the richest, wisest, holiest, purest, most righteous person on the earth. Heaven has room for you. The gospel includes you. God loves you. Jesus Christ died for you. The invitation is extended to you. God wants you to come and trust His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, even now, in this moment. For, as the poet put it, there's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. But you might say to me, "Preacher, you don't know my past. You don't know how sinful I really am. You don't know how far I've gone." No, I do not know your past. I do not know how sinful you are. I do not know how far that you've gone in sin. But I do know this: the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin and all unrighteousness. There is no sin too black. There is no burden too heavy. There is no sinner too sinful. Jesus Christ died for you, and through His blood, He can cleanse you from all sin and unrighteousness. I trust today that you would discover the worldwide fellowship of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that right this moment, right by your radio, you would bow your head. You would pray the sinner's prayer: "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." If you'll do that this moment, God will save you. Jesus Christ will come into your heart and into your life, and you can have eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I trust you'll do it even now. Remember this: only believe and the work is done. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This means you. And now, until next Sunday at this same time, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your home, upon your family, and upon your life. And, as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.